because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, older Jamiel was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. So here the word is Mumu Day. Jamiel was enjoying his little baby child, thinking that this is my child and I'm supposed to enjoy this little child. This is called illusion. That factually, the child didn't belong to Jamiel because everything belongs to Krishna. But as we know, according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, that as soon as we start believing, number one, that we are the body, so that's called the mode of ignorance, number two, we are the body and we're the doer of the activities, so this is further ignorance. And then we're supposed to enjoy the activities. That's called the mode of passion. And then the activities that we're enjoying are the source of comfort for others and help for others. So that's trying to help others, thinking ourselves be the savior is the mode of goodness. But these are all the material modes of nature, all founded upon ignorance. When in ignorance, according to Bhagavad Gita, his destination is not very auspicious. Ordvam gachati sattvasta madhye tishtati rajasa jaganya gunavritista ado gachati tamasa. More ignorance means that one goes to the hellish planets to enjoy life with the Yamadutas. Or one a little less in ignorance, more in passion, then he can come to London and go shopping. Look in all the windows there. And one in goodness, he may be giving dimes and pennies to the homeless down in London Street. But this is all based upon ignorance. That neither were the body, nor were the doers of the activities, nor are we the enjoyers of anything here. We're only the sufferers, nor are we the helpers of everyone, because ultimately, the best we can become is an instrument for Krishna. Krishna says that naiva kinchit karomi ti yuktam anite tatvavit pashan shrinvan svashan grinan. What's it? Naiva kinchit karomi ti yuktam anite tatvavit pashan shrinvan svashan grinan ashnanga chans papan svasan. Umishani vishani pi indriyan diarte shu vartanta iti daryan. That one who's in the divine consciousness, he knows that while he's engaged in seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and breathing and sleeping, he knows that only the material senses are engaged in their objects. Because while evacuating and receiving, opening and closing his eyes. Again, he knows that only the material senses are engaged in their objects and that he's aloof from them. In other words, the fact is we're simply the observers in this material world and we're observing this current so-called lila. Here the word is lila, ta-lilam. We're observing the lila of this body. Unfortunately, although we think ourselves to be gods or avatars, but in one sense we all are in the body of an avatar. It's called the Mudha avatar. The fool avatar. And we're engaging in these foolish activities in the material existence, imagining ourselves to be the hero or the heroine of some particular pastime in the world. But the object of, or the aim of human life especially, is to get out of this misconception and desire not simply to engage in these foolish activities, but to desire to utilize this body in Krishna's service. Not with the idea of enjoying the pastime of this body, watching the body, watching Krishna deliver others and thinking, how great I am to let Krishna deliver others. I'm so merciful. I can't believe it. I wonder if anyone else can believe it either. No, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada told our Prabhupada, that you should go to the Western world and you should preach. You'll do good for others and do good for yourself also. So ultimately, by surrendering to Krishna, nimitra matram bhava savasachin, by becoming Krishna's instrument, the person we're helping the most is ourselves. Helping the most in what way? Helping the most get out of this dark ignorance to think ourselves to be the doers of the activities. Rather, to understand that when we're doing something in devotional service, factually what we're doing is we're taking shelter of the disciple succession, and therefore Krishna, who's supplying us with the intelligence and performing the activities necessary so that he himself can save others, including most especially ourselves. And here the process of being saved is mentioned, chanting the holy name, such as Narayan. Why is the name of Narayan can save us? Because Narayan is non-different. The name of Narayan is non-different from Narayan. In what way is it non-different? Because Krishna is appearing when we chant the name of Narayan according to our surrender. Actually, Krishna says, Sarabhutastam Atmanam, Sarabhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yukta Atma Sarvatra Samadarshanaha. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. So what does that mean? That means that we take a microscope or a microtelescope and we look into everyone's heart and we say, wow, look at that. I didn't realize he was so small. What does it mean we see him all in all, that the self-realized soul, someone like Prabhupada undoubtedly could see the soul within all beings. Many devotees had experience, including myself, that when Prabhupada looked at you, you could understand just by not only his effulgence, by his intense spiritual effulgence, but also the fact that he was just looking directly at you as a spiritual being. But even if we don't have that vision, at least we can understand that when something's going on in this world, someone's doing something, the doer has two possibilities of who the doer is. One is, as Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam partha diving prakritim ashritya. That one who's taking shelter of the divi prakriti, then they're acting under the direction of the superior energy. Ultimately, coming in the disciple succession, acting under Srimati Radharani's direction, the servant of the servant of Krishna. And one who refuses to act under Srimati Radharani's direction through this disciple succession to serve Krishna, then Srimati Radharani has expanded herself as Mahamaya. And Mahamaya will engage us in materialistic activities to chew the chewed. Maya will say, yes, here, put your head on my lap and relax a while, and I'll take this little knife and give you some nice pats on your throat. Enjoy. Come here, and I'll kick you. And we're thinking, oh, Maya is so kind. She loves me so much. She wants me to put my head on her lap and give me some caress with her sweet little knife and cut my throat. So we have a choice. That is our choice. And if we choose the spiritual energy, we choose to hear from the disciple succession what Krishna wants us to do. If we try to understand so we can see things in the proper perspective, and then under different circumstances, we can remember, Krishna can give us the intelligence, what to do, what to say, how to see things under all different circumstances. Then, by agreeing to surrender in that way, we come under the internal energy of Krishna. And the result is we become blissful. And if we don't do that, as Krishna says, Matshita Sarva Dorgani, Mat prasada tarishasi, That if you don't hear me and you don't surrender to me, you're going to have to surrender anyhow to your false ego. And what will be the result? Vinangshasi. You'll be lost. So that doesn't mean just when we come to the Bhagavatam class that here we're supposed to hear from Krishna. And then as soon as we walk out of the class, we're free to do whatever we want or to think whatever we want. No, it means that we have to practice in the class to listen, to hear from Krishna, so that out of the class, that transcendental attempt to see things in Krishna consciousness, to act in Krishna consciousness, is going on 24 hours a day. Therefore, Krishna says, much chaitasya sarva karmani, chaitasya sarva karmani, maya sanyasi matparaha, buddhi yogamu pashitya, much chaitasya satatam bhava. Satatam bhava. 24 hours a day, have that mood of what does Krishna want me to do? First of all, the mood is everything here, whether I like it or not, whether I believe it or not, belongs to Krishna. Everyone here is Krishna's eternal servant. And that nothing here can possibly ever become mine. There is no such thing that by some arrangement, by some good fortune, by some surrender on my part, by some technique, somehow or another, something can become mine in this material world. It is mine. It is my money. It is my family. It is my children. It is my body. And I love it. Not only I love my body. Look at my body. How beautiful it is. How intelligent I am. How wonderful I am. I'm in love with this body. Let's sing about this body. Someone here come and touch my body and become purified. Just like I've become purified. And not only that, but I've expanded myself in so many different ways in this world just to purify everyone by my children, my house. It has all become divine, a lila. And those who are fortunate, they're allowed to engage in my transcendental lila here in the material world. So this type of thinking is all product, obviously, of bewilderment. That is not mine, it is not my children, it is not my body, it is all Krishna's. So how do we understand that? As soon as we begin to engage these things in Krishna's service. So here Ajamil, a little bit he's engaging his son in Krishna's service because he's named his son Narayan. Therefore he's chanting the name of Narayan. Of course, obviously, just by chanting the name of Narayan, it is not that one necessarily will think about Narayan with four hands. In India, there is slaughterhouses called Govinda's slaughterhouses. It is not that the butchers are thinking, oh, hey, Govinda. No, they're completely in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, by association, we're contemplating what is here for my enjoyment. That desire to enjoy, that puts us into Maya immediately. It is that illegal desire to enjoy Krishna's energy that makes us to associate this material world with something other than Krishna, causes us to fall into the modes of nature where we imagine countries, we imagine different bodies, we imagine so many different things separated from Krishna. Krishna Bahirmukha Boga Tarahan Boga Krishna Bahirmukha Bogahana Vanchatare Mayasta Nikatasta Maya Dari Japatiya Dare. That Krishna Bahirmukha Bogahana Vanchatare. That as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna and we desire to enjoy this world, then Maya is standing right by us. And immediately she slaps us down into material consciousness, and we start thinking, what? So much is mine today, and I'll gain more and more in the future. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. And my other enemies, they'll all be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful, and I am happy. I am surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I will perform some sacrifice. I will go to the heavenly planets, and there I'll kiss the apsaras. In this way, the demoniac are bewildered by ignorance. In other words, as soon as we associate anything with our sense enjoyment, with our material conception of life, it becomes material. And as soon as we start associating things as belonging to Krishna, to be utilized in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritual. What becomes spiritual? My consciousness becomes spiritual by remembering my position of service to Krishna. By invoking the desire to serve Krishna, my consciousness becomes spiritual. So how is it that Ajamil, by chanting the name Narayan at the time of his death, became spiritualized? His consciousness became so spiritualized that the Vishnu Dutas came to save him. Therefore, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur tells us that actually when Ajamil was in a helpless state, chanting the name of Narayan at the time of death, he did not think of his little baby, Narayan. He was starting to remember his previous activities of serving Narayan. He began to remember his previous association with Lord Narayan in service. And therefore, he started to call out with great desire, with great hopelessness or helplessness, the name of Narayan, the actual Lord Narayan. And therefore, for that reason, the Vishnu Dutas came. If he was actually just calling his little child Narayan, that was it, the Vishnu Dutas would never have come. The message here, of course, here in the sixth chapter, Shukadeva Goswami was a little bit disturbed because he had just heard about the hellish planets and how people were suffering. And as a kind-hearted Vaishnava, he was worried. How can we help these people? In the beginning of the sixth chapter, therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, we should say Pariksha Maharaj, was worried. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami gave the answer that the holy name of Krishna is so powerful that if it's chanted, that even by a sinful person in the proper consciousness, then he can become liberated of his sinful activities, even to such a point as Ajamil. Of course, Ajamil, he did not become completely purified, because as we'll find out later, that although the Yamadutas did not take him away, although the Vishnu Dutas came, Ajamil simply woke up and realized what a mess he had made out of his life. And therefore he went to, I believe, Hardwar, and there he dedicated his life to the service of Lord Narayan, and in that way took up the process of devotional service and became purified. The message is we have to learn how to not only chant the name of Narayan. Generally, we have to carefully chant the name of Narayan, as I said before, that due to inattentiveness, we don't chant clearly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And even when we try to chant clearly, we spend so much emphasis on trying to chant clearly, we forget about who we're chanting to. It becomes a mechanical thing, as if by just forcing our mind to chant clearly, that solves everything. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. We used to see in the beginning of the movement, because the devotees used to fall asleep all the time chanting for one reason or another, so they'd be banging their heads against the wall. Hare Krishna, you know. Be like a mridanga or something. Bang, bang. Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare Krishna. But that's better than, you know, Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you're sleeping.
I'm not sleeping. Who, Ted? I was. You offender. Who do you think you're talking to? No, that's better. But it's not the ultimate. Because Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, we're supposed to become joyful. The process of devotional service is joyful. It's not that we go to the spiritual world, everyone's chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing in the Rasa dance, and we're against a Kalpa Pariksha tree. Hare Krishna, Krishna. It's not going to be like that. No, everyone's there is joyful because they're full of transcendental bliss. We're only imagining that everything is miserable because this body's miserable, and the activities of this body are all miserable. Our whole life is miserable. Therefore, we think, you know, if I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I go to the spiritual world, there I'm eternally miserable. I'm a little less miserable because at least I realize I'm eternal, that at least I'm eternally miserable. No, therefore, everyone is joyful there, and we're supposed to be joyful here under all circumstances. It's not that Prahlad Maharaj was put into a pot of boiling oil, chanting his rounds, and going, when is this over? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, he wasn't even aware of the fact that he was in burning oil because his consciousness was so much fixed upon in Krishna consciousness. He was in a different platform of experience, he was actually living in Vaikuntha. And how do I know that? I didn't ask him personally, but he says, what is that verse of how crossing over the Vaitaranyas? What's the first word? Naivo dvijay paratyad Vaitaranyas. Naivo dvijay parata Vaitaranyas. Tvavirya gayanam ahamrita magnichitak soche vimukha chetasa indriyarta maya sukhayam bharam udvato vimudan. So Prahlad Maharaj said, when I start chanting Hare Krishna, I don't fall asleep. I don't bang my head against the wall. No, as soon as I do that, I merge into an ocean of Krishna's pastimes. I enter into the spiritual level, into the spiritual world. And I become so blissful because there's so much spiritual pleasure there. But I look around, I see all these asses, these fools and asses working for nothing. Thinking that if I increase my eating, if I get more to eat, then I'll be happy. If I sleep more, then I'll be happy. More sex life, I'll be happy. Or if I have more in the bank, then I'll be happy. I see all these fools, they're missing the whole purpose of life is to go back to the spiritual platform, live with Krishna in bliss, and instead they're wasting their lives for nothing. Punak punas charvita charvananam. Simply over and over again, chewing the same thing. To learn the technique of chanting the name of Krishna means that we have to, at the same time, call out to Krishna with love, to engage us in his loving service. Of course, that comes by hearing about Krishna regularly. The more we hear about Krishna, then when we chant Krishna's name, then we begin to think about Krishna. And by thinking about Krishna, we get deeper and deeper into Krishna's association. As we practice hearing the name of Krishna and spontaneously remembering Krishna's name and his form, and then his associates, then the result is we become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then when we learn the technique of feeling Krishna's presence, then we can understand what spiritual energy means, what it means that Krishna is non-different from his name. Then as we remember his associates and his pastimes, then we're beginning to actually come to the spiritual platform of consciousness, fully come to that platform. But what's the problem? The problem is we can't hear, we have no taste for hearing. Because we hear something, and immediately our minds, we become averse to it. in Krishna consciousness. Why Krishna should be God? Why doesn't he give me a chance? Why is he so, you know, stingy? He has to be the owner of everything. Why does he have all the gopis? Can't he even give me one? I don't know if I really want to associate with this person. He's so miserly. You mean as soon as I even think about touching, possessing one of his things, immediately I get smashed. Wow. How is he smiling all the time, watching everyone get smashed? What kind of person we're dealing with? I have my doubts. Therefore, we start reading, we think, oh my God, what is this? And we go, then the mind says, don't worry, I have a trick. I have a method. Just close your eyes. And there you can enter into Never Never Land, and you can become the enjoyer there. You can be the center of the rasa dance. All the gopis will dance around you for a while. Or we read it and we think, oh, now I'm reading, I'm doing my service. And then if anyone asks you, what did you read? I have no idea what I read. I read it, I think I read it. Because our minds are actually on the material platform of consciousness, and we think we're engaging in devotional service. Officially, we're doing something, but our minds are far, far away. And when someone asks you, what did you just read? And we go, how dare you insult me like that? How dare you question who I am or what I'm doing? Who do you think you are, God or something? You're probably going to tell me you're a representative of God, right? Humble, right? No, the fact is that even if someone else doesn't demand it, at least we have to see, am I actually hearing what's being said? Not only am I hearing what's being said, and how do we know if we're hearing what's being said? How do we actually know that? Can anyone tell us? Well, that would be nice, but hear more? You can go on hearing forever, but how do you know if you actually heard anything?
Yes.
Yeah, if we haven't remembered it, how can we say we heard it? If I told you that I know in one of the rooms there's a plate of Mahaprasadam, and I'll tell you which number room it is. Suddenly, people had any faith in what I was saying, I get everyone's attention. And if I said the number 3, because everyone would start, you know, which number it was? 3. Everyone would remember the name 3, because the number 3, because there would be some interest in remembering it. There would be some, because it would represent something that would possibly give us some pleasure. Similarly, when we hear about Krishna, we're bored sometimes. We think because we have no faith. We have no experience that if I actually hear with attention, with the right mood, I'll become blissful. And even if I can't hear with attention in the right mood, that if I hear the instruction how to hear with intention and how to develop the right mood, and if I perform those activities, then I will learn how to hear with attention and develop the right mood. It's not expected that in the beginning, everyone knows the process of hearing. I remember one time reading a letter that Prabhupada was, or was a conversation actually. Prabhupada was talking to Jayapataka Maharaj in Mayapur, and Jayapataka Maharaj was complaining about how much work he was doing, that he wanted to hear more. And Prabhupada told him, you should work more. He said, because hearing, that's an art, a technique you have to learn. And that technique is learned by engaging in devotional service to Krishna, by utilizing the things that we think belong to us, beginning with this body, utilizing in Krishna's service, utilizing our children, utilizing our house, utilizing our relationships, our possessions, utilizing these things in Krishna's service, then we'll give up the tendency to think they're ours, and we'll remember that they actually belong to Krishna. Then as we become purified, of the misconceptions, our minds will not be full of anxiety. What is mine? What is not mine? What I've gotten? What I've lost? Who's my enemy? Who's my friend? We'll remember that everyone here is Krishna's servant. Everything here is Krishna's energy. I have nothing to gain here. I have nothing to lose. The only thing I have to gain is to hear about Krishna, to associate with him somehow or another. And if I do that in the right mood and actually become Krishna conscious, Krishna will become happy and I'll be happy and my life will become perfect. Therefore, first we have to hear these books or whatever else we do. And then we have to close them and see if I've heard anything. And then if I have heard a little bit, then go back and add to it until we've actually learned how to hear. And what happens after we hear? We've actually heard what's in the book. Then we should think about what it said so we can understand it. And to what extent? We should try to understand it in such a way as we can apply it within our lives. It becomes meaningful to us. It becomes interesting. We become enthusiastic. We want to do something on that basis, to try it out, test it out, see how it works, see what will happen when I do it. And then if we do it correctly, if we've actually heard correctly and we do it, we'll find out everything becomes so much nicer. We make advancement in spiritual life. Our enemies become our friends, or at least we become friendly to our enemies. Even if they don't become our friends, we become friendly to our enemies, and our friends become even more friendly. And our path of liberation, Prabhupada writes, becomes more clear and encouraging. We develop faith in the books. We develop faith in devotees. We develop faith in the deities. We develop faith in the process of devotional service. And we get up in the morning not worrying about what do I have to do today and whether there's going to be some nice prasadam or what are people going to tell me or, you know, what's going to happen on book distribution today. I remember going on book distribution every day. That was six or seven days a week. My first thought was, you know, what's going to happen to me on book distribution? What demon am I going to meet? Or how much am I going to be able to distribute a lot of books and have my name in the newsletter or what? It took me around 15 or 20 years of book distribution for my mind to calm down a little bit, to realize that it didn't really, you know, it was going to be another day of service to Krishna. Don't worry about it. So we should wake up in the morning thinking this is another opportunity to make a little advancement in devotional life, to hear a little bit more, learn the art of hearing, learn the art of understanding, learn the art of applying what I've understood, and therefore come to the platform where devotional service progressively becomes more enlightening and more encouraging. And it's not a competition. Who's going to get to the spiritual world first? I shouldn't worry, oh, this devotee is making so much advancement. There's only so many Chintamani palaces for rent. He gets there before I am. I'm going to get to the gate, and there'll be a sign, no vacancy. Come back in next life of Brahma. God, another time. No, there's plenty of room. We don't have to worry about it. There's not a competition. Actually, the more the devotees make advancement, the more they'll understand how to help us, bring us up, so that we can make advancement, we can understand things properly, we can see better examples. It's, as it says, a rising tide brings all the boats up simultaneously. Therefore, we should try to encourage each other, try to help each other, try to appreciate each other's attempts to become Krishna conscious, and this way make advancement in devotional service, try to help others make advancement in devotional service. Krishna will be happy, and we'll be happy too. So, thank you.